Good, crazy out there. So we have now, just briefly to round it up, three major outcomes to the Charlie Kirk event. One, we'll call it the Rents analysis, whatever you want to call it. That is that the brown shirt man, right in front with a direct trajectory right to Charlie's neck, used a palm pistol, which has been around since the 1890s, a very high-tech new version, of course. And I have now video showing the bullet, or what looks very much like a bullet, going right out that gun and on up. Number two, we have Charlie wasn't killed at all. It was all faked. That was just a blood pack. Don't worry. He's fine. And we have number three now, which is getting a big push today, that somebody, as you look at the stage, to our left, his right, behind him, shot down at a tremendous angle, enough to go in above his right ear and then out his neck. That's a tremendous angle. And no, when you look at the overall picture where the shooter is supposed to be, that angle is not possible, in my opinion. So that's where we are right now. But as soon as I predicted, you can go listen to the program last Friday, I predicted she was going to forgive him as a Christian. Presto, no trial, no nothing. It's over, done. So the papers have covered the federal crime scene all up. That you can't get to it now. It's just covered with papers. And if you don't know what papers are, look it up. So we have that. We have many other things. I think there doesn't want to be or can't be an effective investigation of his security detail. Not one of them has been interviewed that I can determine in any way, shape, or form, and I predict that won't happen. It's not going to happen. All right, let's see what Mitchell Henderson has to say about all this. What have you been doing? You've been on vacation, kicking back, having pina coladas and things? What's going on?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Okay, I'm right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you came in broken up there a little bit. So listen, you know, doesn't this smell a lot like the Epstein files? There will be no truth coming out. There will be no clarification of anything.
No bullet, no clarification. All right, I'm going to have to reconnect. Mitch, okay. Hold on.
All right,
I didn't do anything different. All right. Okay, if I have to, I'll reconnect.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you okay right now. So anyways, right. I think what's important is not so much how it happened, but to understand why it happened. And the reason that it happened is because Charlie Kirk was becoming an important threat to the state of Israel. Okay, because you see, you have college campuses are rife with anti-Zionist people. And even amongst Republicans on campuses, there's only 24% of Republican students that support Israel. So the only thing holding the line on this public debate that was pro-Israel was Charlie Kirk, because, you know, his Turning Point USA was wildly and massively funded by Israel and by Zionist groups. But the problem is Charlie started getting too honest. Okay, he was starting asking questions. Back in June, he advised Trump not to bomb Iran. Don't do that for Israel. And Trump told him to shut up and stuff. But 2 days before he got shot, he had a meeting in Pennsylvania with Altman and some other major Israeli AIPAC players and stuff. And after that, the next day, he said that he felt that they were, he felt threatened by them, immense pressure. And then the next day, he's shot. Who had the motive? Israel had the motive. Who had the opportunity? Well, let me just say this about the whole assassination. Okay, back last year, the Secret Service and the FBI attempted to kill Trump. Okay. They were so inept at it that they failed. The failure of the Secret Service wasn't a failure to protect Trump. It was a failure order to actually assassinate him, which was their goal. So they were very inept at that. So what they did, just keep this in mind when you look at, no matter what you hear about the Charlie Kirk assassination, just keep in mind that this time it's Israel doing it, and Israel is not going to fail to kill their target. Okay?
Right.
They will not
right.
fail. They will right. have it covered. They will do it very, very well. I mean, they assassinate people all over the world all the time. So they're very good at this. So they don't have just one backup. They have two backups. They have three backups. And then the CIA, the FBI comes in, and the FBI's job is to control, create, and control the narrative. Okay? The CIA's job is to start putting out a massive conspiracy theories in social media to muddy the waters, to obfuscate everything. Okay? This is, they do this all the time. This is not a new, fresh thing, okay? It's what they do. Okay, their goal is sort of what they wanted to do is, they had to get rid of Charlie Kirk because he might start leading people against Israel, okay? Yeah, and with the UN General Assembly coming up tomorrow, they thought it was very important that he shut up. Okay, but even better is they wanted to use his death as the pretext to start persecuting people and prosecuting people for anti-Semitism. So, I mean, it's just, it's almost like they're using his death to achieve goals that he would be against. Okay, so because he was for free speech, and they don't want that anymore. Okay, now the left is complaining about that, but the left was saying that freedom of speech shouldn't be guaranteed. Students were not protesting against freedom of speech because of hate speech and stuff. And now that Pam Bondi is saying, "Oh, we're going to prosecute hate speech," now all of a sudden the left doesn't like the idea so much. Okay, now that they're at the other end of the thing here, okay? So, but another thing that I really want to drive home with everybody is that this assassination was a seminal event, okay? I mean, I look at myself, 28 years in the Army, a cop, a GL guard. I mean, I have had friends and family killed, and usually I just accept it as, well, it's a natural thing. People get killed, you know, even violently, especially in the line of work I was in. Okay, so it never really did it. Now, Charlie Kirk, I really didn't follow him. I thought that, I thought he was a Zionist shill, although he was trying to he was starting to think for himself, which he knew that was going to be his end. Okay, look at how Candace Owen got attacked when she's speaking out against Israel. Okay, but Charlie right. Kirk had a bigger platform there, and he had been paid by the Antichrist, by the Zionists. Okay, he'd been paid.
He allegedly turned down $150 million more. Allegedly,
yes. He did. So the thing that I held against Charlie Kirk, really the major thing, was that he was pro-Israel. And I thought, how can he do that if he's an honest, thinking, intelligent person? How can he see what's going on over there and be right. pro-Israel? I mean, but he was a Christian Zionist. That was his church. That was the people that was part of his religion. But I think his religion was sincere, and I think when he started seeing the overwhelming evidence, he found that he just couldn't lie for the Antichrist anymore. So the Antichrist whacked him. I mean, this is what the Antichrist does, right? So,
right.
So here's the thing is, when I heard, I was out working on my property, and I went in just to sit in the truck for a minute and cool off, and I heard the news. It was weird because the news made me feel like, I was like, oh, no, And I felt like, I really felt like this isn't just a death or an assassination. This is a major shift in world affairs. This is a major event. And then when I started looking at social media in the days following, all these people were coming on saying, well, you know, I really didn't think much of him, but I just felt that his death was a seminal shift. It was a paradigm shift, you know, just everything was going to change. And even Pope Leo came out and said that his assassination was spiritually significant for the world. Okay, and I'm saying this because I think that Charlie Kirk's assassination will be used to clamp down on anti-Semitism. Okay, they're taking the gloves off. They're firing all these people who made crude remarks about Charlie's death. It's also opened the masses' eyes to just how hateful and demonic the left is. I think that this has discredited the left very, very bad. Okay, this has cast them in bad light amongst many people in the world. Okay, so September 10th is sort of like, whether we realize it or not, the beginning of the Second American Civil War. Just like Fort Sumter, the shots there was the beginning of the Civil War. September 10th is the beginning of the Second Civil War, the shot that killed John Burke. It does not matter who pulled the trigger. It does not matter who organized it, okay? But now you're going to see a lot of things, okay? See, I know the law. I know how the law works. There's things called accessory before the fact, accessories during the fact, accessories after the fact. Do you realize that nobody's been charged? Lots of people knew that this guy was allegedly going to go shoot Charlie Kirk, yet none of those people are being arrested or have charges on them. The transgender girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever you want to call him, that Robinson was living with, she obviously is part of it. And, you know, you cannot convince me that the government is so stupid that they would believe the text between him and his boyfriend, okay? So you know, there's a version right. of Breaking Bad where Walter White wants to protect his wife, Skyler. So what he does, he knows his phone is being listened to. So what he does is he talks to her on the phone as if she didn't know anything about what was going on, okay? And he did that, even though she was a partner in the drug business. He talked to her like he built this communication up like she didn't know. And then, of course, the police used that to say, oh, well, she didn't know. Well, surely the government isn't going to fall for that for somebody. I mean, you know, they know that people do this all the time and stuff. It's a common thing. It's throwing people off the track. It's, you know, but they're acting as if, oh, they just accept this, that, oh, yeah, she didn't, or he didn't know, you know, that Robinson was going to do this. There's no talk of arresting her. There's no talk of arresting all the other people that were in the chatter before, during, and after. Remember, after he shot Charlie, it was 33 hours before he was arrested. So all those conversations he had, those people are all accessories after the fact. An accessory after the fact can get the same penalty as the person who did the crime. Because this is the way it goes. If you tell me that you're going to kill person A like 3 days before you do it, under the law, I'm obliged to notify the police that this person's going to get killed. If I don't, I'm an accessory to the crime. So I've committed murder, too. If right after it, I ask somebody to go pick up the rifle and stuff like that, and they don't call the police immediately, then they are an accessory after the fact, and they're just as guilty. If after the fact you tell people that you did the shooting and nobody reports to the police, hey, this guy did it, okay, that makes it you are an accessory to the murder also, okay? But think of it this way. There's a pattern here. Remember the old man, the old pedophile that said, oh, I did it, I shot him and stuff, okay? So use that as a template. How many people do they have playing this game, okay? So, and you're right, you know that Robinson is a patsy. If none of these other people are charged, you know he's a patsy, okay? That's how you know he's a patsy. You know he's a patsy because if it was real, all those people would be rounded up and put in jail. But there's another pattern here that every time our government assassinates somebody, miraculously, it turns out to be a lone gunman, no matter what. Okay? Nobody else is ever involved, even though clearly other people are involved. Okay? So, right. and you mentioned that Erica Kirk forgave him. This will be where they'll just see he's not cooperating. So they will say, well, okay, listen, if you cooperate, we'll take the death penalty off the table.
Right.
So listen, you know, I have complained for years now about the low quality of our government's lies to us. They really think we're stupid, okay? And this is a classic example of just how stupid they think we are. Just like when Trump said, when Bibi visits and Trump says, oh, there's no Epstein file. We're so stupid, we're going to believe that? They really actually expect us to believe that? Well, this assassination narrative is the same thing.
When Trump said that, I just if the American people accept this, it's over.
Yeah, he just thinks we're so stupid that we would buy into this. So anyways, this is this also ties into the stabbing in Charlotte and stuff, because Charlie Kirk was talking about that. Okay, he brought it to the attention that the mainstream media is not reporting this. I think Americans are sick and tired of the black racism against white people, the victimization of white people by black people. I think this is so obvious, Jeff, that right after the association, there was a flurry of black influencers putting out videos that were supportive of Charlie Kirk. I think they saw that, we can't have our fingers on this, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I think they had a sense that this is going to be bad, you know, if this turns into a race thing instead of a right-left thing, it will be bad, okay? So, right. So this is all about the Civil War, okay? So from the Civil War, that's just what it's all about. Okay, they're sparking it and stuff. Okay, so you got to remember a few things here. Okay, you know I have said repeatedly on the show that the purpose of the police is to give the appearance of law enforcement. The purpose
that's
of
right.
the justice See. System is to give the appearance of criminal justice, when we know there is none, right?
It's all psychology, you guys. Right. It's a message. You know what I'd like to do is play a couple of very short clips of Charlie's that indicate what you said is more than correct, that he was waking up, either spiritually, geopolitically, any way you want. He was waking up. I've got several clips here. When he asked, who gave the stand-down order on October 7th?
Right.
You all need to understand that called into doubt the entire alleged invasion of Israel on October 7th that they needed so they could pursue their genocide in Gaza. And that's a fact. Let me play this little clip here. I don't know how long it is. Let me find out. It's just a little over a minute. All right, here's Charlie talking about October 7th and raising the issue that the Israeli government was involved setting the stage to allow this to happen.
Avoid these three foods, like the plague.
Hold on. I got to get rid of this, which I did. Now I got to get rid of this, which I will. Okay, here's Charlie Kirk.
The most valuable health. In Israel many times, the whole country's a fortress. When I first heard this story, I still had the same gut instinct that I did initially. I find this very hard to believe. I've been to that Gaza border. You cannot go 10 feet without running into a 19-year-old with an AR-15 or an automatic machine gun that is an IDF soldier. Right? The whole country is surveilled. And so let me just kind of go through this. We don't talk about Israeli politics very often, and most Americans don't know this. The last 9 months, Israel was on the brink of civil war. It's not an exaggeration. This judicial stuff, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets because Bibi Netanyahu was basically redefining the Israeli constitution. That's not...
Every week in Israel before October 7th, there were between 35 and 50,000 people demonstrating against Netanyahu. That's what Charlie's talking about. Okay, I'm going to back this up just a little.
Because Bibi Netanyahu is basically redefining the Israeli constitution. That's not an exaggeration, right? He said the judicial branch has too much power. There were protests planned this week against Netanyahu, where they anticipated tens of thousands of people to take to the streets. That's all gone, Patrick. Netanyahu now has an emergency government and a mandate to lead. I'm not willing to say, to go so far that saying that Netanyahu knew or there was intelligence here, but I think some questions need to be asked. Was there a stand-down order? Was there a stand-down order? 6 hours? I don't believe it. Israel's the size of New Jersey. When I took a helicopter ride from Jerusalem to the Gaza border, it's 45 minutes.
Wow.
6 hours. They're live-streaming the killing of Jews. Did somebody in the government say stand-down? That is a legitimate, non-conspiracy question. The whole country is the IDF. The whole country is.
Yeah.
And you're trying to tell me that they're going to concerts and kibbutzes and schools and buy...
Okay. You got the idea?
I'm carrying
now, that's
a,
that,
a
that is...
Pieces.
Hold wait, on. Wait. That's a brave man. I mean, he knew what he was doing right there. He stood up and was asking questions. Questions he shouldn't have asked. The stand-down order. The stand-down order was to keep the Israeli military from responding appropriately, if at all, to the alleged invasion that was spontaneous and well-planned by Hamas on October 7th. Charlie Kirk is questioning that. Was the Israeli government right. involved in allowing that to happen? Woo!
Yes, yes. So you have to remember that this man, Trump, is a showman. And just as I was saying about the criminal justice system and the law enforcement system, so I want you to realize that it's government by propaganda, okay? So Trump came in and said, well, we are going to build a big, beautiful wall. He's been there 9 months, and you know what? He's only built 34 miles of wall. Only 34 miles.
How do we really even know if that's true? How do we know that's
even
true?
He's not even talking to you. Well, they have satellite imagery and everything else. You can't hide something like that.
Okay? Well, I get it.
Texas built 66 miles of wall in the
I don't take anything they say seriously anymore.
No, not this
government.
So here's another thing. Do you know when you see ICE out raiding stuff, you see they do bizarre things they know is going to get people riled up, like arresting people at the courthouse, closing down the best taco stand in L.A. or whatever, letting the people riot against them, letting them do it. They're not throwing any of these rioters in jail. Pam Bondi said she would, but it's not. None of these people are going to jail. Okay, let me tell you why. The reason why is they want to give the American people the impression that they are deporting tens of thousands of people. You know what? They are arresting tens of thousands of people, but trust me, they're not being deported, okay, because they have to have a judge decide they're going to be deported. The president just can't decide to deport them. And judges are against the deportations. So what's happening is they're arresting these people and then putting them back out on the street. So they make this big raid, arrest all these people. These people, a few get shipped overseas, okay? So you know, I was a cop. I understand how it works. The way it works is, say you have 100 murders in your city. Well, you can't. You know that you don't have the money to go solve all 100 murders. You just don't. You don't have the money to investigate all those 100 murders. So what you do is you pick out 10 murders that you think are the easiest to solve, the easiest to take to court, and you investigate those and you arrest those murderers. The rest of them you just let go. You're not even going to bother with them. Okay, out of those 10 murders, then the prosecutor will say, okay, well, we'll pick out, it's very expensive to prosecute people, so we'll pick out the 3 best cases out of this 10, and we'll prosecute them. And then it gives the appearance that something's being done. Okay, that's just what's happening with the immigration thing, too. These people are not being deported. They're being arrested, and a big show is made about them being arrested, a scandalous show. They intentionally go to big places and arrest lots of people so that it looks like so they'll get a lot of press. They're going for the press, and they get that press. People get the impression that all these tens of thousands of people they're arresting are getting deported. They're not getting deported. You know, a plane goes to Zimbabwe with 23 Zimbabweans on it.
Mass deportation.
What is that?
Mitch, that's not a mass deportation.
No, it's the appearance of a mass deportation.
Oh, it's not even that.
You remember, this is everything. You know, Trump, he used the Ukraine war. Oh, Biden's going to get us into a nuclear war with the way he's handling the Ukraine thing. Well, and then we elect him, and then what happens? He's getting us into a war with it also. Which, let me use that as a segue into the next thing. Have you noticed that now, listen, all through the Cold War, there were always aircraft that, American aircraft accidentally drifted into Soviet space and vice versa. Their aircraft came into ours. Well, that was sort of routine. It happens all the time, and nobody gets bent out of shape. Now they're trying to equate Russian aircraft drifting into Estonian airspace with a full NATO Article 5 invasion, which is not. If those aircraft don't bomb anything, is it an attack? Or is it just a violation of airspace? It's not an attack, okay? But they're making it in the news as if it is. You can see that the European leaders, they want war with Russia. They want war with Russia. They want war with Russia.
Be careful what you wish for is all I can tell them.
They will have their war. They will have their war. They're going to do it, okay? Zelensky, he's all about getting NATO into World War III with Russia. This is what Zelensky's a satanic figure. He's a Zionist, evil, trans, gay, Zionist demon.
Quadrasexual, satanic, pedophile.
Oh, yeah. He's just this evil person that's going to drag us into World War III, okay? So they just keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing. They will have their war eventually. Russia is already aware that there's going to be a war. They know that already. They can tell these people are not listening to reason. These people cannot.
No, they're insane.
They do not want to reason.
Okay? That's right.
And our lives are in their hands, okay? So then let's go to the Middle East.
Mitch, may I play another little clip of Charlie?
Sure.
I think we need to pay tribute to him because he was really standing up for the truth as he was beginning to see it, and he put his life on the line, and it cost him.
Yes,
here's another one.
Yes,
now, this is a man who has already accepted 80 million or thereabout from the Jews. Netanyahu just offered him, allegedly, 150 million more, and he said no. All right, here's Charlie talking about the American wide-open border.
And Jewish donors, they have a lot of explaining to do, a lot of decoupling to do, because Jewish donors have been the number one funding mechanism of radical, open-border, neoliberal, quasi-Marxist policies, cultural institutions, and nonprofits. This is a beast created by secular Jews. And now it's coming for Jews, and they're like, what on earth happened? And it's not just the colleges. It's the nonprofits. It's the movies. It's Hollywood. It's all of it. It's like, time for you guys to wake up and say no more. Draw a line in the sand. I don't care if you hate me.
Wow, Charlie. That's a brave man. Yeah. That was really a brave statement.
Yeah, like I said, the only thing that I opposed him on was his pro-Israel stance. I had even commented to his, his platform before and stuff that he should wake up. That I just told him that Israel was the Antichrist, and he's helping the Antichrist. You know, so speaking of the Antichrist, okay, let's look at what they're doing in the Middle East. Okay, so. Trump allowed them to bomb Qatar. Okay, Qatar is we have a military base there. As I said last time, the reason that they allow American air bases or military bases in their countries is to protect them from a nuclear Israel. That's their protection. They're not going to be attacked by Israel if American bases are there. That's the center of our Middle East policy.
Uh-huh.
From the 73 war on, that is the centerpiece.
I don't think this got any clout anymore.
No, listen to this. Let me tell you what happened this past week. So Saudi Arabia went to Pakistan and signed a mutual defense treaty. An attack on Saudi Arabia is now an attack on Pakistan. Saudi Arabia is now a nuclear power. It is under the Pakistani nuclear
umbrella. Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah. And a nuclear attack on Israel, a conventional attack, a nuclear attack on Israel, will have a nuclear response. So now if Israel wants to nuke Saudi Arabia, they're going to get nuked. Okay? For sure they're going to get nuked. This is a mutual, it states very clearly, an attack on Saudi Arabia is an attack on Pakistan and vice versa. Okay, so
I got it.
To put this into context, you need to realize what's been going on in that region. China and India have been making friends. Even though we're trying to split them up, they've been negotiating with each other. They've been warming up to each other. China got Pakistan and Afghanistan to cool off and start cooperating. So this past week when Trump says, oh, you give us Bagram back or we're going to bring hell on you, okay, China says, hey, Afghanistan is a sovereign nation. They don't have to take a military base. They don't have to give you a military base. So China's verbally backing up Pakistan on this, okay? So all these countries, what they've been moving for in the past year, they're all moving towards being friendly with each other. India and Afghanistan are still on good terms, okay? India and Iran are on excellent terms, okay? India and Pakistan, you know, that's the point where the United States tries to make trouble in Asia and stuff. But, you know, are they going to stand up for themselves, or are they going to kiss the butt of the Antichrist, the United States and Israel? And Pakistan has to make that choice, but we can see by the alliance that they're moving through. Now, in the what they have in the Persian Gulf area is the Gulf Cooperation Council, which is sort of a military alliance, but not a real mutual military alliance like Pakistan has with Saudi Arabia now. But watch this. You're going to start seeing the other ducks get into a row. You'll see Oman and Kuwait and the UAE and Qatar and Bahrain. They're all going to try to make this the same alliance with Pakistan, okay? You know, it's just you're seeing the drift towards war. Any time now, we're getting towards the end of September, so any time now, Israel will go ahead and probably spark another war with Iran. And you have to remember that the United States doesn't have to do anything to be involved in that war. We're already involved. We are already. We have already bombed them. They have already. We're already an enemy. So,
right.
So we don't have to take any additional steps to be involved in a war with Iran. We're there. Israel has dragged us into that officially and stuff. So at the same time, you know, Europe was like, you know, Trump told Europe, he said, well, you know, you need to put 100% sanctions on India and China because they're accepting oil. Listen, Jeff, the Europeans can't do it. They can't afford it. They sanctioned Russia, and they've killed their economies by doing it. Okay, Germany was an industrial nation before sanctions. Now their industry's gone. Their economy is dying. Their people's standard of living is slipping.
All right, let me ask you this, Mitch, real quick. What has happened to the American consumer since Trump's tariffs went into effect? How are the people faring here? In other words, let's cut to the chase. Who's really paying those tariff charges?
Well, we're paying those charges. Listen, the thing is tariffs is the only thing he has to do, the only weapon he has in order to fix the deficit. But the problem is, if he could devalue the currency, it would fix a lot of things very fast. Every other country in the world has fixed their currency, fixed their deficit. I mean, Brazil used to have a terrible deficit, and so did Russia. They got rid of it by devaluing their currency. So the United States has the trade currency and reserve currency in the world, so we cannot devalue it, okay? So tariffs is
you're 100% correct. I agree.
But it's not going to work.
I just don't believe any of his rationale. I never have.
No.
It's just not real.
Choose the stupidity of his rationale. Okay? Just think about when you go to the store and buy something, the trade relationships that you have with people in your community. Okay? When you go down and you buy groceries, okay? Do you demand that the grocery store buy stuff from you in order to have this trade relationship? No. What Trump is trying to say, they have to buy from us what we buy from them. And, well, that's just not the way trade works. Some countries have an overabundance of something, which makes that product cheap, and that's why you buy it from them, okay, because it's cheap, and you can buy it from them cheap. That's why you do it. This is how you go shopping as an individual human being, okay? But Trump is trying to say, oh, no, you don't buy nothing from them unless they buy the equivalent from you. This is absurd.
It's absolutely
absurd.
Totally, it is. See, there was not nearly enough pushback.
Works.
No.
Yeah, it's not the way reality works. No. So, so we have this. The thing is we're going to lose the dollar anyway, and then he can theoretically devalue our currency. However, our economy is going to be, there's going to be a lot of economic pain.
Of course,
in this country when that happens.
Of course, it's all by design. All of it. Don't forget that. Here's another little clip from Charlie. I would like to play this. This is short. This is when he had. Ben Shapiro was the guest. I thought he was on the other pro. Okay, Ben Shapiro's the guest on Charlie's program here. Now, you heard earlier examples of how brave a man Charlie was at this point, and what a threat he posed to Netanyahu and the Zionist-Israeli-American-funded war machine. All right, here's Charlie.
Thing a friend said to me, interestingly, which is, okay, Charlie, we push back against the media on COVID, on lockdowns, on Ukraine, on the border, on, so like, maybe we should also ask a question, is the media totally presenting the truth when it comes to Israel? Just a question, you know, that maybe we shouldn't believe everything the media says, because I know I've been conditioned to ask a lot more critical questions over the last couple of years. So that,
yeah, I'm going to play that again. I want you to hear it.
Charlie, we push back against the media on COVID, on lockdowns, on Ukraine, on the border, on, so like, maybe we should also ask a question, is the media totally presenting the truth when it comes to Israel? Just a question, you know, that maybe we shouldn't believe everything the media says, because I know I've been conditioned to ask a lot more critical questions over the last couple of years. So, Ben, some people would accuse Israel of wanting to ethnically cleanse.
Okay, there you go. Just again, a little snippet of conversation that is unmistakable in its intent and where it's going, and about the man who uttered those words. He was no longer buying into the ticket, the big lie, the big scam. He was walking away, trying to.
Yeah, he was, I think he had this impetus to be truthful. I think he always wanted to be truthful and rational and stuff. That's sort of what he was about. But, you know, his, the thing is the church that he belonged to, like I said, was a dispensationalist church or a Christian Zionist church. So you know, the big rub on Christian Zionism is, and let me tell you how bad it is. Let me just show you how bad it is. I have relatives that belong to Calvary Chapel, which is a Christian Zionist church, okay? And they if you go to them and you show them that you are a Christ obedient Christian, that you actually died to this world and now you live in Christ, okay? And they can know that for sure. Yet if you oppose Israel, you're going to hell. And they want nothing to do with you. So the real test on whether you're saved or not is you're worshiping Israel. If you don't put Israel first, you're going to hell. That's how bad Christian Zionism is. Okay? So,
pretty scary.
This is the church that Charlie Kirk came out of. Okay? And just to kind of give people a picture of this, listen, I've talked to people that sometimes it takes a while for you to figure out that their theology isn't right, okay? You can go talk to Mormons that they will seem like they are real, actual, practicing good Christians. They look like it, but they believe God was a man who just went through the process and became enlightened enough to be a god of his own universe. I mean, it is not Christianity. Okay, I had some people come to me from some Korean church to talk to me, and at first they sounded like good, you know, Christ obedient Christians. So you know, this is what the Christian Zionists look like. They look like they're good Christ obedient Christians, but who do they put first? They put Israel first. The way to heaven is by blessing Israel. That is what they believe. They could never betray Israel. They can betray Christ. They can betray God. But they cannot betray Israel. They are the false religion of the Antichrist. That's what Christian Zionism is. Make no mistake about it. That is the worship of the Antichrist. Okay? Because Israel is anti-Christ, period. It's unmistakable. Okay, so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say that things are now accelerating. So we saw many events happen in September that were accelerations. And now it's like when they talk in Revelations, actually it's Matthew 24, he says that in the end times, that it'll be like a woman in labor. Things will get harder and come on faster and faster and faster. We're picking up faster and faster. I mean, it just just in June, we bombed Iran. In September, Saudi Arabia is making a mutual defense treaty with Pakistan. Charlie Kirk's getting assassinated. There's sort of a spiritual unease that has swept into the world. It is accelerating. It is picking up. It's getting faster. Okay, so everybody, you need to go get prepared. The time is here. You need to stock up on food, survival tools, the things that you need. You need to go get them, because when the crash comes, there'll be some emergency. Just think back to, you experienced COVID. Just think back to that. All of a sudden, there's no toilet paper. All of a sudden, there's no rubbing alcohol. All of a sudden, there's a lot of things that you need that you can't get anymore. This is how it's going to be. So you need to get those things that you need. You need to get them fast, because tomorrow you could wake up and it could all be off the shelves and gone. Okay, so you need to
That's exactly
get your
right.
preparation done now. So, you know, if you want a guidebook to the kind of things you need to stock up on, go to Amazon and get The Final Wars, Mitch Henderson, The Final Wars. It's a book about surviving the Civil War, World War III, and the collapse of civilization. And make no mistake, this is the end of civilization, okay? It's going to be over soon. It's been a long nightmare, a 6,000-year nightmare, and it's almost over. So get prepared for it now, you know. I mean, it's sort of urgent at this point. So, and you'll see things are going to pick up. Tomorrow is the United Nations General Assembly. Tomorrow is a bad day for Israel, because I think there's 148 countries now that have decided that they recognize Palestine as a state. Just this weekend,
it's 14 now. I didn't know it was that high already. This is
148
very
countries. Uh-huh. 148. This weekend, let me see, the United Kingdom.
Wait. 148 altogether?
Altogether, 148 countries have recognized Palestine as a state.
I had no idea it was that high. I know in the last few days there's been a little avalanche, but nothing like that.
Oh, yeah. Now it's a lot of the European countries, like, like Great Britain, Canada, Australia. Right. They have all recognized Palestine. I think McClellan recognized it a month ago or so, or whatever. So it's gonna grow. I mean, do you think any of these European countries can fool their people about what's going on in Israel? You know, I mean, you have to remember, European people are atheists. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe that Israel is anything special. So they're not preconditioned to worship Israel like Americans are. Okay? They don't have the same brainwashing that we have. They tried to guilt trip the Germans, but even the Germans are waking up to, hey, you know, if it's so bad to do a genocide, why are we supporting a genocide in Israel? Okay? I mean, even they are coming to their senses. You know, the Holocaust stories are starting to lose their gaslighting ability, okay? Because now the Third Reich is Israel. Now Netanyahu is Hitler. Now the IDF is the SS Sonderkommando. So now they are everything the Holocaust was talking about, okay? So it's losing
and you can't hide
power.
It. You can't hide it. It's out there in broad daylight. Every day the stories come in. Another 125, another 150 Palestinians slaughtered in Gaza every single day.
Shooting at people running to get food.
Yeah.
Shooting, target practice on little kids.
Precisely
kids, intentional
what's
target
going on.
Practice on them.
That's
come
right.
on.
That's right. That's not human.
You know,
it's not human.
It's demonic. It's satanic.
We run short of words that are strong enough. It is not human by any stretch of the imagination. Mitchell, thank you for the update, as always. And thanks for letting me play a few clips of Charlie. I think he deserves it.
Oh, helps people. That was good. It was very good. People need to know why he really died.
That's correct. This is going to attempt to be swept away, but we can't let that happen. Charlie was waking up. All right. Thanks, Mitch. Talk soon.
Okay. Be well. Bye-bye.
Mitchell Henderson. All right. We will pause and come back with more. Another hour to go in just a few minutes. Hold on.